the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. You're tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
And good morning to you. It's good to be back for
it's
me.
It's good to have you back.
Yeah.
Damian slept in yesterday because he forgot what day it was. No, I'm kidding.
I tell you, did the 4th of July not feel like a Sunday to
you?
Yes,
it did. I was about to put my garbage around front because that's when my garbage man comes.
Yeah.
And my wife stopped me.
Yeah, so, well, good. Yeah. Otherwise, you just had it out early.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
So, on the 4th of July, they were out there working on the 4th of July.
They were?
Good.
Yeah, wow, go ahead, Bay St. Louis. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm impressed.
Well, y'all want to get the day started off with a prayer from the feast day of Maria Goretti.
Yes.
And so, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O St. Maria Goretti, beautiful model of purity, you defend your virginity unto your death. Even at the age of 11, you held dear to your heart what is dear to our Lord's heart, your purity. Pray for us that we may do the same, especially when we are tempted. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Maria Goretti, pray for us.
Her story is amazing.
It is. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I actually saw St. Maria Goretti at Our Lady of Mercy a while back.
Yes.
Same here.
And that was really cool.
Yeah,
that was really
neat.
Cool to
see. When her body was touring, or her relics were touring the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we will learn more about this saint of the day later on in today's show, but we're starting off with some events in our listening area. We will give you details about that is coming up in 8 minutes, and all of these events you can find on our website at ccmedia.live. Michael Accaldo joins us in 18 minutes. He is the executive director of St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge. He's going to be giving us an update on just what's going on in the St. Vincent de Paul Society in Baton Rouge for the month of July. And it's hot, and I know that they're going to be needing a lot of help. Mm-hmm. And also, school is just around the corner. They had that used uniform sale that helps so many people. So definitely stay tuned. I know we don't want to talk about it's a school year coming up for a lot of kids, maybe. Maybe parents, I don't know.
Parents are paying attention.
And it's good to know
I'm
that stuff,
I'm enjoying the summertime.
You've tuned it out.
but Michael always needs help this time of year, so we're going to find out how we can help him and help those who need it the most. Mm-hmm. In 35 minutes, David Dawson Jr. joins us from the Office of Parish Support from the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. And every Thursday, he talks about marriage and family life. Well, today we're going to be talking about cultivating a relationship with a spouse for your children. So looking forward to hearing this conversation from David.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And in 48 minutes, Julian Kwasniewski joins us. He's a Catholic student over at Wyoming Catholic College. And why are we talking to a college student over in Wyoming? Well, Julian is going to talk to us about AI, the joys of being in a Catholic college in America, and maybe some of the challenges that he's facing as well, and the wonderful things happening over at Wyoming Catholic College. You know, it's not just local. People listen to us from all over. So looking forward to hearing more about Julian, but actually looking forward to hearing more about AI, you guys.
Yeah.
I have an AI DJ now that I listen to on my phone, and he plays exactly what I want to hear. It's terrifying.
Oh, wow.
But it's always a vibe.
Is that something you can get for free, or you have to subscribe to that?
I don't know if it's free. I actually pay for it. I've been paying for it for years, but this is a new feature that they have on the app. So pretty cool stuff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it was a gorgeous sunrise weather-wise. What you got yesterday, you get today and tomorrow. High should be 89. Winds out of the west at 5 to 10. 78 degrees everywhere but New Orleans. It's 81. Wake up. It's 5 after.
A good Thursday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. After entering a boat, Jesus made the crossing and came into his own town. And there people brought to him a paralytic lying on a stretcher. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Courage, child, your sins are forgiven." At that, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." Jesus knew what they were thinking and said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home." He rose and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were struck with awe and glorified God who had given such authority to men. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Demons, they go into swine. The spirit of rejection enters the townspeople of Gadara, and Jesus embarks on a boat. Each vessel merits its occupant. Jesus is the secure vessel for his disciples. Therefore, they will return with Jesus to his own city, Capernaum. We see in this narrative a microscopic version of the opposition between the city of man, Gadara, and the city of God, Capernaum, representing heaven. They are separated by an abyss, symbolized by the Sea of Galilee. Only the divine Redeemer and those with him can cross it. Arriving at Capernaum, Jesus receives his favorite greeting, human sorrow and woundedness, carried on the pallet of faith and hope. The Greek word pistis, used for faith, expresses belief, trust, surrender, the inheritance of one's whole soul. That's what the New Testament means by saving faith, not some mere intellectual belief. We also learn how Christians are to approach Jesus, namely, focus on the needs of others. All human helplessness is seen in the paralytic, to whom Jesus says the marvelous words, "Courage, child, your sins are forgiven." Notice, to Jesus, we are always just children, helpless little boys and girls. Some self-righteous scribes act in sharp contrast to Jesus. Their critical judgment was, "This man is blaspheming." These grammaritans of the law knew nothing of its encouragement in times of distress, nor of defined filiation. They were experts in the letter, but they were ignorant of its meaning. Jesus responded to their judgmentalism by working a miracle of healing to confirm that he had the power to perform the miracle of forgiving sins. A 16th century Spanish theologian and poet reflected that Jesus is the most perfect of Christ's names because it most fully reveals his nature as God's will to save made incarnate word. The muffled charge of blasphemy will reappear when the high priest tore his garment, saying, "He has blasphemed. He deserves death." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
And this is Wake Up. Damian Colado, Gabby Smith, David Dawson, all here with you to share with you some events taking place in and around the area in the upcoming days and weeks. One in particular, it's really a popular event. It's going to be the 14th annual diocesan-wide Supper and Substance in New Orleans, and it's going to be at the Rockin' Bowl. That's right. July 28th, a Friday night, put it on your calendar now, from 6 to 8:30, Mixed Nuts will be playing, and it's going to be 70s disco dancing theme. So you can get your dancing shoes on, and it's going to be food, fellowship, and just a lot of fun with faith, and plenty of food too. I'm just going to touch on some of the
food.
There's going to be seafood trays, fried wings, pizza, crawfish etouffee, beer and wine. It's all on the agenda. If you want to learn more, just go to faithandmarriage.org or ccmedia.live.
My wife and I go almost every year. It's so much fun.
It's so much fun. It is.
It is great. Yeah, Gabby, you and Andy have been before, too.
Yes, we have. It's a blast.
Yeah, it's fun. Do you know a high school student in need of service hours? I bet you do. Explore Serve. Students engaged in reflective volunteer experiences. Let's just say Serve. Program at Catholic Charities. Serve provides opportunities for high school students to serve the community during the summer break and earn service hours and make an impact in the lives of others. Registration is currently open until all spaces are full. And so for more information, just go to ccmedia.live.
All righty. If you're thirsty for the truth, besides listening to Catholic Community Radio, well, here's another idea. There's the Thirsty for the Truth summer series. It's going to continue. It's Wednesday nights. It's coming up next Wednesday, as a matter of fact, July 12th at Abita Brewery from 6:30 to 8:30. The cost is $5, and you must be 18 and older to attend. As you remember, the first Thirsty Thursday, first Thirsty for the Truth series.
Something like that.
Was
yeah.
Father Chris Decker.
Yes.
And he talked about anything you want to ask him.
That's right.
Well, this time it's going to be Father Josh Rodrigue. He's going to be focusing on discernment of spirits. And coming up on July 26th, toward the end of the month, Father Jeffrey Monts will be talking about the occult.
Ooh.
So, again, more info, go to ccmedia.live for the Thirsty for the Truth series.
All right. And yes. St. George. Oh, go ahead, Gabby.
Well, Father Josh Rodrigue is over at the seminary, Notre Dame mm-hmm. Seminary.
Yes.
So that'll be really cool to
rector.
See. Also,
huh?
yes, and mm-hmm. real quick, you can download our app for free in the Apple App Store or Google Play. Just search Catholic Community Media, and you can listen to us on the go.
Absolutely. Everywhere. St. George Catholic Church is having a men's Acts retreat. It's August 10th through 13th. We're telling you this early because you got to sign up for those early. Excuse me. The retreat begins on Thursday evening, August the 10th, and you check in at 5 o'clock. And you go all the way till August the 13th, 11:30 Mass, and there's a reception afterwards. I've been on one of these, and they are life-changing. They're amazing. So this one's going to be at the Tracy Center in Baton Rouge, and the retreat amount is $350. $350 to help defer the overall expenses of the retreat. Y'all, it is worth it.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've got other events. If time permits, we'll share those with you as the morning goes on. But right now, we've got Michael Licato coming up in just a moment. Talk to you about St. Vincent de Paul in the Baton Rouge area. It's 15 after on Wake Up on this Thursday morning.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 6th. Today we celebrate Saint Maria Goretti. The simple story of Maria Goretti has touched millions. The daughter of a poor Italian tenant farmer, she never learned to read or write. One afternoon in 1902, Maria, not quite 12, was in her cottage mending a shirt. Outside, a cart stopped. An 18-year-old neighbor, Alessandro Serinelli, ran inside. He seized Maria and pulled her into a bedroom. She struggled and tried to call for help, gasping that she'd rather be killed than submit to him. Alessandro began blindly striking at her with a long dagger. Maria was taken to a hospital, but before she died, 24 hours after the incident, she forgave her attacker. Serinelli was sentenced to 30 years in prison. For a long time, he remained surly and unrepentant. One night he had a dream or vision of Maria gathering flowers and offering them to him, which changed his life. Released after 27 years, his first act was to beg forgiveness of Maria's mother. At Maria Goretti's canonization in 1950, 66-year-old Alessandro Serinelli cried tears of joy as he knelt among the 250,000 people assembled at St. Peter's Square. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
You are tuning your heart to the truth. It's 18 past the hour on Wake Up. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado. And right now we have Michael Licato. He is the executive director of St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David. It's great to talk to y'all.
It is great to talk to you, too. You know, the first thing that comes to mind, Michael, is it is so hot out there. And with all the things you do, with the people that you do for, how are y'all handling that?
No doubt about it. We've had our hands very, very busy over the last several weeks. Thanks to our great shelter leadership, our director, Sarah Delaney, mm-hmm. of our shelter and housing programs. Back in April, they started talking about the heat and some of the challenges that we faced during COVID, not being able to respond as fully as we've been able to do this year. So we put in a lot of planning, and we were ready when the heat hit. Obviously, we weren't looking for excessive heat advisories of 110 plus degrees when it comes to the excess of what it felt outside. But we figured that would happen in July and August, not in June. So we've been working real hard, and we've not only opened more beds, more importantly, we've opened our day facility up where we're able to provide day shelter to individuals experiencing homelessness, men, women, children, families. And any given day, we've got anywhere from a dozen to, we've had four dozen people given time, in addition to the people that we're providing overnight accommodations to. So lots of people, and, a lot of people, if they would like to help, this summer is not going to be over until September 21st. So we're expecting many more hot days. And so if people want to donate bottled water, toiletry items, we'd love to have those at our 1623 Convention Street shelter address, and it'll help us to help those who truly need a hand up during these difficult times.
You know, I always I was talking to my wife about that, too. We have these such severe cold weather times sometimes, and people just need to get in out of it and get into the warmth just to thaw out, because it's so darn cold out there. And yet this is just as extreme. So is it like a large air-conditioned room they can just come sit in for respite, or how does that work?
That's exactly what it is. It's a large room, and is separated from our four overnight shelters.
Okay.
So it provides us the opportunity to serve more people and not interfere in some of the services that we're providing on a daily and nightly basis. We have not turned anyone away. And, the cooler days are here now.
I know
when you walked out the door this morning, you felt it. And
it was nice.
It's really, I think we all needed a break from that.
Okay.
No doubt
about it. So you guys, you need water? You said you need folks need to donate water bottles, or just, or what else can they do besides that? You
water
said toiletries.
Poultry items, we're always in need of rain gear, whether it's summer or winter, those ponchos come out, toiletry items, things like deodorant, toothbrush, toothpaste, soap, shampoo. Those are all kinds of things that we have increased numbers coming to us. That means we have a greater need. And so that's critical to that mission, we're doing a great job with it.
And it's hard to believe that we're actually talking about school starting, but you're serving folks with that too. Talk about the uniforms.
Yeah, we have been collecting gently used uniforms over the last several weeks, and our Uniforms for Kids effort actually kicks off next Monday. And next week, people can go to our website, svdpbr.org, and they can make a donation. $12 will help us provide one uniform to a child in need. We try to give each child at least two uniforms. So a $24 donation helps us to take care of one child. We're trying to take care of thousands of children this year, and our goal is to help 18,000 kids.
So
it's you know, we've got a lot in front of us, and we certainly need the help and support of the community. That's a lot of uniforms and a lot of children that need our help. It, you know, we were just talking about sheltering and providing housing. You know, our shelters always have many children in them, and we're able to provide those uniforms to them. Anyone that wants to donate can go to our website, or, you know, if you'd like to donate a gently used uniform, you can do that at any St. Vincent de Paul location, at Arley of the Lake Children Health locations, and also American First Bank. First American Bank.
First American Bank? Okay,
interesting. Michael, Damien, how do you come up with that 18,000 number, if you don't mind me asking? Is there?
Well, that's the number of children that, you know, we identify and we go and try to help. Many of those are in East Baton Rouge Parish, but we also serve the 11 surrounding parishes, and you know, we've been doing this drive since 1998, so we kind of have a real good feel of the schools that need the most help in those poverty areas that children truly need this helping hand up.
Well, that's great. I don't think people knew that you went beyond East Baton Rouge Parish.
Oh, yeah, all 12 civil parishes of the Diocese of Baton Rouge got some wonderful volunteers that make that possible, help to keep our costs very, very low,
and $12.
Enable us to,
go a long way.
That's not bad, and you're also talking, I find this interesting, gently used uniforms. Now, with my kids, they weren't gentle with their uniforms at all. I mean, that would be really hard to do. I imagine you'd prefer the newer ones because of the way kids go through them, but then, I guess throughout the year, do you have spares? Because my kids trashed their uniforms. I mean, they were rough on them.
We find that the donated bottoms, you know, the pants, the shorts, or the long pants, they do exceptionally well, and so sometimes those wear a little bit better than the shirts. But we take all of those donations, and if we can use them, we put them to good use, and it's all about helping as many kids as we possibly can.
Wow, that is fantastic. Well, Michael, how about the chapel? How's that coming along?
Oh, it's coming along great. We just had a meeting with our architect yesterday, and we're hoping to be able to go out to bid in the next couple of months, and once we got to bid, we'll be able to break ground, and so hopefully construction will start before the end of this year, and
we'll
be in 2024. We're really excited.
2024,
Yeah, have a brand new chapel that'll seat 50, and then they'll have meeting space attached. And that meeting space, the chapel's going to have a very large door on it, and so the door can be opened if we have an overflow crowd, and literally have an additional 50. So we'll be able to seat up to 100 people in the facility. So we're excited about it.
My goodness, what a wonderful problem to have at a chapel, an overflow crowd. That would be really, that would be fantastic. And Michael, there's one thing I've always admired about you and at St. Vincent de Paul. It is, you're not necessarily, you are serving the poor. Of course you're serving the poor, but you are being Christ to the poor first.
No doubt about it. I mean, as you said, David, we are a ministry and not a social service group.
Right.
We see the face of Christ in each person that we serve. And our volunteers, our St. Vincent de Paul members, they do such a great job of growing spiritually, which is a daily task for all of us in that ministry. And so what a great opportunity to do something in the name of Christ, and to do it for those who are truly, who we truly see the face of Christ in. And
Absolutely.
That's what Jesus told us to do for, I was hungry and you gave me food. We're doing that every day of the year.
Wonderful. All right. So if folks want to come help you out, they want to donate uniforms, anything, where do they go, Michael?
svdpbr.org. We'd love to have the support. Many volunteer opportunities that are available, everything from our dining room to our shelter facilities to our community pharmacy, our dental clinic. So many good things going, and we can always use a helping hand to serve all of God's children.
Absolutely. This goes on every day. It's not just a holiday thing. Michael, thanks for joining us. Keep doing what you do, and we got your back.
Well, we appreciate everything y'all do at Catholic Community Media, and thank you for keeping the word of what we do in the community out there, and thanks for all you do for our Catholic community.
All right. Take care.
You too. Have a great one.
All right. Bye-bye. SVDP.org.
SVDPBR.org, Dave. And also, well, that is in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. We'll be talking to Michael Borg later on this month in the Archdiocese of New Orleans with St. Vincent de Paul. So if you want to help out in the Crescent City, just stay tuned later this month. We'll be talking to Michael.
And they've got a number of thrift stores. That's another way you could support them
as well.
To drop off your things that are good but don't need anymore
or purchase. Absolutely. Bottom of the hour. We'll be back on Wake Up.
Happy Thursday, everyone. It is 35 after the hour. Get up, get going. You're listening to Wake Up. And right now, David Dawson Jr. is with us. He's director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux, here to talk about cultivating a relationship with your spouse for your children. Interesting. And I'm assuming fertilizer is not part of this cultivating, right, David?
Wow.
maybe metaphorically.
You know,
it may be.
It could be. We're going to find out right now. So let's jump right into it, Dave. What exactly are you getting at cultivating a relationship with your spouse for your children? Because quite often you do hear about marriages staying together, i.e. just for the kids.
Yeah, for sure. And honestly, the major focus is on cultivating a relationship of joy in particular.
There you go.
Joy in particular is the key here. I think a lot of times, you know, I had some friends of ours, they said that after just a few years of marriage and kids, they felt like they were just two people, you know, running the same daycare, the same place. And, you know, I know that's what we don't sign up. When we sign up for marriage, we don't sign up to just be teammates, although it's nice to have a teammate, you know, when you're working on tough stuff. Mm-hmm. We, especially as men and women, aren't built to be teammates. You know, they're supposed to be, and the reason we get married is for the sake of joy. Like the joy that we have in love. And, you know, when our spouse walks into the room, and when we first started dating, our girlfriend, boyfriend would walk into the room, and, like, it would light us up. Mm. And after a while, that goes away, and I think a lot of times we chalk it up to, you know, we just get used to each other. But the truth is, you know, you look at married couples, and a lot of us have experienced this, like, it can be years, decades into marriage, and you can still very much experience that because the way God made us, he didn't make us to be kind of just task, you know, oriented. He didn't just make us to be like just getting stuff done and taking care of the business because that's our responsibility. He didn't just make us for responsibility. He made us for joy. And I think the recognition that it's something that we all, it's a choice. We don't often recognize it as a choice, but I know, you know, I can recall sometimes, and I've seen it in other couples, where it's like, you know what, my wife walks into a room, and like, I want to be joyful, I want to be excited, but she's busy doing other things.
Right.
You know, she certainly doesn't feel it. She's kind of sweating and running around. And so I feel like I'm not allowed to be joyful. I just got to jump in the mix because if I'm joyful, she's like, don't, you get out of my way, you're wasting my time. Or that's what I think she's going to do. You know, she's not going to do that, but that's what I think she's going to do. Or the other way around, that like when she's joyful, I'm like, I'm tired, you know, or something like that, or I'm watching TV or whatever. And I think after a while, we just choose to turn it off because it kind of hurts when you're excited about somebody and they're not excited about you. You're like, well, then forget it, you know? I think there, after a while, we just choose to let go of joy and we assume that's the way it's got to be. When that's completely, you know, it doesn't have to be that way at all.
We have a tendency to gravitate towards just taking care of business and just coexisting, right? I mean, we just lean in that direction all the time. So, I mean, what do you do to renew that? What do you do to bring that?
Yeah. You know? Well, I think first recognizing that a lot of times what drives that is we assume that the kids need us to be doing stuff for them. And of course they do, but what they need more than anything, and if you ask them, and a lot of times these child psychologists will ask these kids, what would you want from your parents? And they're always like, I want my mom to play soccer with me in the backyard. I want my dad to, you know, put me on his back. And of course, it's a bit tearful, you know, they'd make it into a commercial or something like that. But the truth is, like, what our kids want more than anything is for us to be doing these things out of, like, an ease, a joy. They want to hear us laugh, you know. And God gave us a source of that in our homes. We don't have to try to just drum it up. You know, like, all right, our kids need to be joyful. All right, get your stuff together. Let's go. Get a smile on your face. No, we've been given our spouses to be somebody who is exciting. And so what it takes is, like, you know, my wife walks into the room, and I can get excited.
Yeah.
And to be able to choose to get excited, even if she's struggling to receive that, to fight through, to fight for it.
Yeah.
When I say that, cultivate, like, you got to fight for it and be like, no, this is actually important, right? Come here, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to pull you to me, you know, and be like, hey, look, this is good. You are beautiful, you know. And if she's excited, to be willing to say, like, this is actually what's important. Don't push it away. Don't stop. And if it does get pushed away, it hurts. But don't give up.
Right.
Don't let that pain of being, you know, what feels like rejected or feels like, you know, like you're not as excited as I am or whatever, to not let that be the end of the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
To say, give yourself the excuse to say, no, this is important and I'm not going to stop until you get excited about this, you know?
Well,
like, it's a fun thing to pursue, yeah.
And as couples, as time goes on, especially when you have young kids, I think it's important to let them see, even if things get a little mundane, to add a little excitement. In other words, you're getting dinner ready, and all of a sudden, you know, the kids are doing their thing. Put on some music, and mom and dad start dancing. And the kids will stop whatever it is they're doing because it's so unusual, right?
Yeah.
And they're going,
freaks them out.
What is that about?
Yes.
And that shows how much you love one another. You know,
And they want to be in the middle of you too.
Next thing you know, Next thing you know, they want to dance with you.
Oh no, they want to get between you two.
No, but they do. Right. They want to dance with you,
yeah.
And
right.
it's
That's
doing
right.
those type of things. If you're cooking, teach your children how to cook. Have a little fun.
Okay,
put spaghetti sauce on their nose.
No.
You know, something like that. I'm serious. It's funny.
Okay.
But you make fun and everybody has a good time. And it doesn't have to be day in and day out. But periodically, do it a little something out of the unusual. And surprise always intrigues kids.
Yeah,
and I think
business.
That helps cultivate. Dave, I don't mean to be a damper on this, but what are some things couples need to be aware of if their marriage is unhappy and they may not even know it?
Yeah, I think it's amazing how it's always the little things.
Mm-hmm.
Turn off the TV, put down the phones. And just that, you know, just to be able to say, look, I'm going to focus on you. You're going to focus on me. I'm not super excited about you. I feel hurt by you. You feel hurt by me over the top of the years. We're not super excited about each other. What it takes is to put it down and look at each other, you know, and recognize there's something I probably haven't seen yet. It's like, there was a song that said we were like books that we picked up, but we never really read through. We assume we already knew the ending. When the truth is, like, you're sitting next to a mystery.
Yeah.
And when we lose sight of that, that becomes very sad. That's a sad day.
Yeah.
But recognize, like, it's still there. It's still there. And so just to put down the phones, turn off the TV, put down the to-do list for a second. I know we're tired, but, like, I've got this huge gift right next to me. And if I've lost sight of that out of feeling pain, I think forgiveness is important, but, like, it's going to come with, like, look, you know, get excited about how beautiful your spouse is. Get excited about how great he is. Like, what is it about them that's beautiful? What is it about them that's great? And give yourself the excuse to focus on that, even if you don't think it's going to be reciprocated.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing is, like, what gives us the freedom to reciprocate is if we're feeling it ourselves. And a lot of times the reasons we don't is because we assume I'm not going to be appreciated.
Yeah.
So somebody's got to take the first step. You know what I mean? Somebody's got to put themselves out there.
And start with gratitude. Start your day. The minute you wake up or the minute you talk to her, even if you've got to leave early for work, give her a call in that sometime during the morning and just say, hey, how's it going, dear? Hope you're having a great day. Love you type thing. And and mean it. Don't just say it, but mean it. But gratitude, man, it seems to get erased rather quickly.
Yeah, it does. And look, it's funny how you got to tell yourself sometimes, look, it's okay to be excited about each other, like, all day. Like, the entire time that I'm home, it's okay for me to be excited about my wife the entire time I'm here. It's good stuff. And it's okay. I don't have to be like, no, put that down. We got stuff to do. We got responsibilities to take care of. we're going to get to that. But, like, it's okay for me to be super excited about it the whole time I'm here. It's a blast, you know.
How cool would that be? You know, to court your spouse not on an obligatory date.
Exactly.
Like anniversary or Valentine's. Right. It's like just out of the blue, you know what? I am courting my spouse.
Exactly. And
that's right.
Also texting throughout the day, too, and saying, hey, I love you, or I'm thinking about you randomly throughout the day. Yeah. You know, it doesn't have to be 10 times a day, but just know it's nice to get a text, you know, at 2 p.m. and it's like, oh, hey, you know, I was working, but it's nice to get that little sweet text.
Yeah.
And never let the kids be the reason the relationship isn't being successful.
That's right. That's right. That'll lead to the kids being disappointed and us being worn out.
That's
right. If excitement's not what drives this thing, then we're going to be pretty quick.
There you go.
Yeah.
Be curious. Be gracious and at the same time, love with all your heart. That's why you married the individual to begin with.
That's right.
And of course, you're always going to love your kids, hopefully. Well, David, thank you for being with us. As always, we'll talk to you again next week, brother. And hopefully this was some helpful pointers for the listeners we have out there. In the meantime, it is 45 after the hour on Wake Up. Don't go too far. We're going to learn a little bit of AI and a lot more coming up.
Tuning your heart to the truth. It is 48 past the hour on Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado and David Dawson, and we're going to take it over to the beautiful state of Wyoming, where it is much cooler than it is here probably. Julian Kwasniewski joins us. He's a Catholic student over at Wyoming Catholic College. Good morning, Julian. Welcome to Wake Up.
Thank you, Gabby. Real pleasure to be with you.
It's so great to have you with us. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about today are the joys of being in a Catholic college and maybe the challenges as well in America and so many other things that Catholic students or maybe college students really are facing in today's world. So, Julian, tell us a little bit more about Wyoming Catholic College and why you chose to be a student there.
Yeah, so... I attended Wyoming Catholic College, and now I work for the college in marketing. And what's very special about this college, as opposed to others even similar to it, is just the integration of the different parts of formation that it can really give you. You know, sort of in a larger picture in terms of anybody going to university, people are going to university primarily to learn a career. Learn skills needed for a career. And of course, Catholics also want to be formed in some way in their faith. But so many secular universities today, that's very difficult. And very often, actually, the environment of the university is against being formed in your faith. And so there are some small Catholic colleges like Thomas Aquinas College in California, Thomas More College in New Hampshire, and Wyoming Catholic College, where the emphasis is not really on learning skills for a career, but becoming a better person. And if you can become a better person and learn how to think and reason well, then you can go on to do anything. So Wyoming Catholic College's program is a combination of reading the great books, so great thinkers from Aristotle and Plato to St. Augustine to St. Thomas Aquinas to more recent authors like John Paul II, and really trying to engage with the deep, deep thoughts and the faith, philosophy, theology, art, on the one hand, and on the other hand, formation of the body and spirit in outdoors, in doing difficult and challenging outdoor trips, learning leadership, perseverance in the wilderness, and of course, being immersed in a community and faith life, including liturgy, that forms the spirit.
Hmm. Wow.
You know, I'm so glad you said outdoor because of the landscape over in Wyoming.
Yeah.
It's absolutely breathtaking. And so I'm glad that you said that. And Julian, you know, I went to Catholic school my whole life, but in college, I went to a public state university. I had a great time, and it was very eye-opening for me. And my dad was telling me before I started my first day, you're going to be meeting people you never thought existed. And boy, was that true. Because I was in this bubble my entire life in Catholic school. And I'm so grateful for that bubble. And I'm so grateful for Catholic education. But I'm also grateful for that opportunity to experience other people as well. And it tested my faith. It really did. And a lot of people are going through that or are experiencing their children go through that. But talk about, how is it being a college student in a Catholic university in today's world where the secular media is going against the grain or going against what we believe?
Yeah, so I think nobody in our world today tends to be so cut off that they'll never encounter people with different views from them. I think what people encounter coming to Wyoming Catholic that they never knew existed is actually really the riches of the Western intellectual tradition, riches of Catholicism that they never knew existed, and really challenged to think of things and in ways that they've never thought before. And I think that really what people today are experiencing is an alienation from reality. And that is one of the things that Wyoming Catholic College tries to address, is put its students back in touch with fundamental realities. And one of the ways that we do this is by limiting fairly strictly the amount of technology that students have access to. So they don't have any phones. They're not allowed to have phones, cell phones.
Wow.
They do have landlines in their dorms, but internet access is somewhat limited. People can have laptops to write papers, do some research on, do email on. But overall, no one has mobile devices at all, no TV, and that really enables a culture of personal connection. Students can connect with each other face-to-face. They have to communicate face-to-face with each other, their professors.
That's incredible.
And that gives them communication skills. Yeah, that gives them communication skills that other people don't have. And so talking to graduates, So often they say, yeah, you know, our graduates have a liberal arts degree, but they go into so many different fields of work, technology, medicine, you know, the crafts, construction, whatever.
And Julian, we're running out of time, but I wanted to touch on this too, because AI, artificial intelligence, is becoming a big thing now where it's writing essays for students. And it's really getting to the point where it's doing the homework for the students. And we're always wondering, since it's such a new thing, where is it going to go in 6 months to a year to 5 years, because it's growing so rapidly. So what's kind of, how is that working into the college life at Wyoming Catholic College?
Yeah, so I mean, definitely the administration is considering what to do with that. And I know that it has been at least proposed that all essays become handwritten and finished in class. Of course, in class, no one is allowed to have computers at all already, but people write essays outside of class normally. That's one idea. And I know students who already write their essays entirely by hand and don't use a computer to do that.
Wow. Well, I've written 26-page essays in college, and I can't imagine writing that by hand. But, I mean, that's a great solution, actually. Might have to take a few breaks every now and then. That's incredible.
It's a great discipline, though. It's a great discipline.
I think when you do it by hand, the brain works differently than just typing it out or whatever. There's something about writing, and it almost goes back to journaling as part of your prayer life, wouldn't you say, Julian?
Yes, for sure. I mean, I do a fair amount of freelance writing myself, and I do that all on the computer, but there is a real way in which writing a text down helps it to become part of the memory and is a meditative thing, and, you know, copying out scripture passages is something I've certainly done, and I know other people do, as a way to slowly allow a text to sink into yourself.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Love that. Julian Kwasniewski, former Catholic student at Wyoming Catholic College. Where can we go to find out more information about Wyoming Catholic College? I mean, what a unique university and a unique place to be.
Yeah, so you can just find out more about our college at wyomingcatholic.edu. Again, that's wyomingcatholic.edu. And there's information there on admissions, and as well as our summer high school program for high school students interested in attending called PEAK.
Wow. And I want to know what the temperature is up there right now.
Oh, it's probably about 40. It's
No.
I don't know. Not in the summer, you guys. No.
Rub it in, Julian. That's fine,
it'll
baby.
It'll warm up in the day.
There you go. Warm up to 55. We're looking forward to it. Yeah. Well, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Julian.
Thank you.
I like that. Yeah, I'm not big on artificial intelligence. I'm sorry. The only thing artificial I'm associated with is sweetener.
You're just working on real intelligence right now.
Artificial sweeteners, the max, yeah. Okay, we're going to wrap up with prayer. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O God, author of innocence and lover of chastity, who bestowed the grace of martyrdom on your handmaid, the Virgin, Saint Maria Goretti, in her youth. Grant, we pray, through her intercession, that as you gave her a crown for her steadfastness, so we too may be firm in obeying your commandments. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.